rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions.
Okay, we can't let this go on. We can't let this go on too much longer. This is the ESFFL Week 5 podcast. I am Mr. Rogers, but this is not Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or anything like that. Today on the podcast, it's my pleasure to have with me Jake Hale of the New England Chowderheads. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
And also with us today on the Hulco Corporation Hotline is Jake's Week 5 opponent, Travis Davis of the Carefree Clamoring Clams, all the way from Arizona. Do you hear us, Travis?
I hear you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. On today's program, we'll discuss Week 4 results, the Clamoring Clam status as a top 20 team on the ESFFL's all-time wins list. That's a new status for the Clamoring Clams. We'll talk a little bit about the impending return of Melvin Gordon. And, of course, we'll take a look at the key Week 5 matchup between the Clams and the Chowderheads. But first, to humor me, and no, that intro song didn't humor me in the least, but to humor me, let's talk about the Clamoring Clams Week 2 loss to the Cecil County Bay Foxes. Travis, this was the first time ever that the Bay Fox defeated the Clams since the series began all the way back in 2011. So I got to say, it feels pretty good to get my first win against the Clamoring Clams in 4 tries. Sorry it was at your expense.
It would have to be, since it was the first me. it's been a long time coming. I'm glad that you finally were able to get that. I thought that I had a pretty good shot with you having Tyreek Hill out of the game. But, I just didn't have enough to get it done. I still scored pretty well, and I was able to beat my rival, who I feel like is the man, Steve, who always seemed to beat me. I wasn't able to get it done, and congratulations to you.
It was that damn Nelson Aguilar drop touchdown pass that did it for me.
Yeah, if he would have caught that pass, I believe I would have won.
Yeah.
And the Eagles would have won, and everyone would have been happy. But
except for me.
Now Eagles fans and Clams fans are upset.
Yeah, I would have been a little bit I would have been a little bit happy because the Eagles won, but I would have had some disappointment over the loss. Anyway, let's move on. That was Week 2 we were talking about there. Let's move back here into the more recent past, Week 4, which just wrapped up last night. And Jake, I got to say, it was quite the impressive victory for the Chowderheads. In the game of the week, it did not disappoint. A 143-142 victory over the Victors.
How about that, huh?
That was amazing. The amazing part of that is, you know, you had two of the best players in the week. With Nick Chubb and Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. But your opponent had them as well.
Yeah.
So kind of negated there.
Yeah, I kind of go into each week assuming Godwin's kind of an offset because he's owned by so many teams. But I take it for granted that I'm usually the only one with Chubb. So that threw me off a little bit. I took it personally when I saw the Week 3 power rankings. And although we were ranked high, there was game of the week had described the Chowderheads as sort of like we need to see it to believe it. So.
Yeah, well, I'm a believer. I gotta say that. Put me in the monkeys, Davy Jones. I'm a believer. Now, Travis, the Clamoring Clams didn't have quite the success, but still put up, I think, 124 fantasy points. So still a good week from the Clamoring Clams, but a loss to the Cockatiels, which drops you now to 2-3. So I got to believe that's a disappointing loss, but still in playoff position, looking at the Bowen Statute standings. How you feeling about your Week 4 performance?
Obviously, yeah, anytime I take the loss, I'll score 88 points and be happy with a win. Things aren't coming together for me this year so far. I've had a few disappointing losses. Chuck's got a good team there, and they were able this week, moving into this week, though, this is definitely a must-win, chasing the division leader here. Got to make sure that I take them down.
Just remember, these are all the teams that you brought into the league that you're facing here last week and this week. So if you lose to them, it's only your fault.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I only have myself to blame.
But we want the best competition, right? Like, this league is about competition. All the best fantasy players somehow gravitated into this league, and it's the best of the best.
We've lost a few people who have recently passed in the standings, and I know you'll get into that, but I think Jake is a formidable opponent.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, so let's move on. Let's talk about...
He's also a thief, but...
Maybe, should we go there next? Should we go there next? When you say he was a thief, what do you mean by that? Tell our listeners. Our listeners want to know.
You know, there's certain gentleman rules with the people who I've brought into this league and I've been friendly with and have offered opinions to and, you know, value their opinions. You don't expect somebody to swoop in and steal a player after you've stated that you're interested in them but may wait a week because you think they'll be available. Generally, you get a full disclosure at that time of saying, hey, just so you know, this person's on my radar too, and I'll probably steal them. But that's not what happened in this case, and I learned a valuable lesson about, a little showmanship.
We could check the text thread. I don't think you said you were debating on waiting a week.
I think we could check it if you would like, but I believe that might have been part of the conversation.
I thought you...
I may not have brought that up with you, but I know other people who did not do what you did. Actually, you know, that was clear too. So, you know.
I took it as... What do I like better, this group or that group? But you know what they say, keep your friends close.
But I know what group you really like better now than you. I'm expecting Ben Watson to score probably about 22 points against me this week. I'm still struggling to find any tight end other than Mark Andrews, who everybody has, or... to produce some points for me.
That'll be one of the great myths of ESFFL, which is how did Mark Andrews slip through the initial rosters?
Yeah, and
he was on my radar, but that's one of my regrets of not going with him.
So Travis, before we leave this subject, I just want to tell you and maybe the listeners kind of what my rule is. And that's anyone that I talk to about, you know, potential pickups and things like that. I institute a rule that if I give you my opinion and you pick up that player based on my opinion and I don't pick him up and you're the only team that picks him up, then in the future, I can tell you, hey, you need to drop him at any point in time and you have to drop him. That's my personal rule. You can ask the River Rats owner about that. I enacted that with Raheem Mostert earlier this season. Unfortunately, other more teams than just one picked him up, so I can't do anything about that now. But that's my rule. And in this case, you could tell Jake right now to drop him if you would have enacted that. So just keep that in mind going forward. We did want to mention that the Clamoring Clams, with their Week 3 win over your brother's team, the Galloping Scallops, moved into the top 20 on the ESFFL all-time wins list. So, Travis, I wanted to congratulate you on that. You surpassed...
Thank you. I've been chasing the Wolves since I entered this league. Many people know that he was my original... Mitchell Dennison's original rival when he came in.
The whole Mitchell Dennison story, yep.
Been chasing him for quite some time. And finally, I think I'm still tied with him because I lost this week to the Cockatiels. So I think I'm still tied, and I don't know if the Underdogs won this week or not, but they might have jumped back ahead of me.
Nope, the Underdogs lost. So the Underdogs, the Wolves, who you were talking about, Ryder's team, Underdogs, Wolves, and Clamoring Clams all have 80 wins. But Travis, you are higher than on the list because you have fewer losses. So you are right now 19th on the ESFFL all-time wins list. So congratulations on that.
So when I was looking at that list, it looks like your winning percentage has gone down over the last couple of years. And maybe, Jeff, your stats department can look into Travis's winning percentage before children and after children.
Oh, I'm sure it's suffered since children. And I do want to make note that your loss this past week to the Cockatiels dropped your winning percentage to 576. And the Bay Foxes win this past week over the Crunch has raised theirs to 577. So I just want to make sure you had that information.
That's great info to have. You know, I did spend quite a few years tanking to try to fix my team's errors.
I think the Bay Foxes did as well, holding on to Dalvin Cook for the past 2 years. I wouldn't call it tanking necessarily, but...
just to give you full context.
Rebuilding.
Just to give you full context on Travis's areas of focus. When I first met him 7 years ago, the whiteboard in his cube actually had his pending free agent transactions with dollar values. So even before I was in the league, I'm like, what's this? What's Gronkowski? You know, plus $3 million.
Now the whiteboard has a diaper pickup.
Which is always harder to explain this league to people who are not in this league. So I just finally just like, dude, just come in.
The only way
to understand it is to get involved.
All right, well, let's before we run out of time here, let's talk a little bit about Melvin Gordon, right? So Melvin Gordon ended his holdout. He was active last week but did not play. Both of you guys picked up Melvin Gordon. So talk to me a little bit about that move.
So I can go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just saw it as let's grab him and see how it plays out for a couple weeks. He was the number 7 running back last year, so even at 3.8. That seems like a pretty good deal. I think the big underlying factor with Melvin Gordon was Barkley's injury, and I didn't look at the entirety of the league, but I'm curious if that was a big factor in the 10 or so people that picked him up.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, with the Barkley injury, only 2 of the 22 Barkley owners dropped him. So 20 of us held on to Barkley. I looked at Gordon, but really didn't have the cap room to be able to do it. I'm also a little worried about the great start from Austin Eckler, so I'm sure they're not going to just bench Eckler and give Gordon everything. And also kind of a little worried about, you know, the susceptibility of injury, not having training camp in the first couple weeks. So, Travis, what were your thoughts? So I did not pick up Gordon. Travis, you also picked him up, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I picked him up mostly just to make sure. Obviously, the Barkley injury was a big part of it, but I just had to do a little finagling in order to fit him, so it seemed like it was worthwhile. Finally, dropping Jared Cook was a no-brainer. I kind of wish I would have done it before Thursday night to drop Miles Sanders because I could have done it a little bit cleaner without losing a guy who has a high upside like Calvin Ridley. But ultimately, I thought that it was the right move to do just due to the Barkley injury and the fact that if I can keep any of that constant with my opponents, maybe I can make up some points in some other areas. So, well, the 11 people picked up Melvin Gordon. I think in the early going here, he's probably going to be a little bit more of a timeshare guy, but ultimately there was a reason why he was the number one back last year, and so hopefully he'll regain that status. I was actually hoping for a Dolphins upset due to I thought that might kind of push the Chargers hand a little bit, being 1-3 versus 2-2, so we'll see what happens, but they need to win, so maybe they'll make the right moves to do so.
Yep, the Chargers historically have been very fantasy friendly to running backs, going all the way back to LaDainian Tomlinson and probably even before that. I think success is definitely in store for Gordon if he stays healthy and is a good soldier, you know. All right, well let's just talk real quickly. Get your thoughts on the matchup this week, head to head, Chowderheads versus Clamoring Clams. This will be your 6th meeting all time, and right now, Travis, you hold a narrow 3-2 advantage. So, Jake, I'll start with you. What do you see? Do you see victory number 6, this week, or could this be the first loss of the season for
yeah,
the
Giants?
Yeah,
so I think I'm vulnerable at quarterback. I think just being exposed to Carson Wentz, first the Jets. I don't know Josh Allen's status, so I would be highly dependent on Kyler Murray, so I'm not feeling comfortable at quarterback. And then I think Elliott and McCaffrey wash out. Chubb, again, becomes kind of an advantage that I have. Wide receivers looks like a wash. Tight end looks like a wash. And then the Bears concern me.
So prediction?
Yeah, I'll go Chowderheads 130 to 129. That's been kind of my season.
The one-point victory. All right, Travis, what are your final thoughts?
Another heartbreaking loss for the Clams.
So you're in alignment with the Chowderheads.
I've had a few of those. I agree that, I think I have a slight advantage. I think that Josh Allen will be out. And then the Bears, obviously, they seem to really be turning it on. That late touchdown by the Vikings also hurt me this past week. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. As we get going, you'll probably pull out the win on this week, I'm guessing, just the way my season's been going. And obviously, just let me know if you need me to let you know who to pick up or drop this week. I'd be happy to offer you insights again.
So the Bears play the Raiders in London this week. So I think you have to get up at, 6 a.m. to watch that, Travis?
Yeah, I think that's one that I'll just kind of wake up and see what happens, whatever.
All right. Well, best of luck to both of you guys. You've listened to this podcast in its entirety. And here comes Kermit to close us out.
Wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.